Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good value, big upside.
I'm all about DA. Very smart, very talented. Love the kid's process. Works it hard. Cares about the show. Grinds. It's about the right stuff, man. And he's a good dude.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Thank you, Jim. Happy Wednesday, everybody. 41 minutes past the hour. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. And there are so many ways you can listen to the show. Check us out across the great terrestrial radio affiliates on CBS Sports Radio, on Sirius XM Channel 206, and stream us on your phone using the radio.com app, Apple Music, or CBS Sports in that app. Plenty of other places you can stream radio as well on your phone. You can watch us at watchda.com. Joining us here on the show to look ahead to week number one of the NFL season, our friend from Pro Football Focus, NFL writer there, Sam Monson. Sam, good morning.
Morning. How's it going, guys?
Good, man. Thanks so much for joining us. We've started this morning talking about Ezekiel Elliott's contract extension. 6 years, $90 million. Significantly, it's $50 million guaranteed. Analytics-wise, numbers-wise, does the money validate Ezekiel Elliott? Does Ezekiel Elliott worth the money?
Yeah, I mean, I think the bottom line at PFF is that all the data at the moment says that running backs are not the thing that determines rushing success, right? Run blocking is way more important in terms of determining whether you're going to run the ball well than who is carrying the football. So Dallas securing an offensive line that's going to open up holes for whoever the running back is way more important than locking down Zeke Elliott. And, you know, conversely, if you didn't have Zeke Elliott running behind that offensive line, we've kind of already seen in the past that they were able to plug in a guy like Darren McFadden and turn him into a 1,000-yard rusher and a legitimate, you know, RB1 in terms of fantasy. They've done it with Alfred Morris as well. This is a line that's been able to plug in running backs and not see the kind of drop-off that you fear from losing a player like Ezekiel Elliott, who, you know, talent-wise, Elliott is fantastic. It's just that he is not the thing that's moving the needle in terms of determining whether Dallas is going to have success running the ball on the ground. So from that perspective, from where we're looking, it's just not ever going to be worth paying a running back that kind of money. That being said, I think Dallas, the Cowboys believe differently. You know, they think that Zeke Elliott is what makes that offense go. They will run him into the ground. They will use him as much as they possibly can. So I think they're going to try and get value out of that contract. It's just that all the data says that it's not Elliott that's the thing that's moving the needle there.
Jared Goff also got a ton of money in his extension, $110 million guaranteed. And we know that with every new contract, there's new record set basically for quarterbacks. But where does Jared Goff stack up statistically against his peers?
Yeah, and I think that's the thing that, you know, he probably hasn't earned that kind of contract yet in terms of his overall performance, but they're paying him for what they think he can be. He's definitely taken huge steps forward under Sean McVay all the time he's been there. Last season, I think we saw him end the season as our number 8 ranked quarterback, so he sneaked into the top 10. I think that's kind of where he's at right now. And if he takes another step forward this year, then I think he will justify that contract. Obviously, he plays the most important position in the NFL. It's not like talking about paying running backs top dollar. The quarterback is definitely where you want to invest the money. And I think we've at least seen Jared Goff play for stretches as a quarterback that would justify that contract. All we need to know now is whether he can elevate his game to that level consistently in 2019 and beyond.
Sam Monson joins us, Pro Football Focus. I don't know if you guys have a way to decide this, but do you feel as though Jared Goff is a product of his system? In other words, if we plugged in, say, Nick Foles or Jacoby Brissett or somebody else,
that he would be more effective within the Rams offense than those guys would be in other offenses?
I don't think we can say he's a product of the system, but he's definitely enhanced by the system. You know, he went from one of the worst quarterback situations in the NFL to one of the best when they made the coaching change and Sean McVay came in. And, you know, you can see what McVay's system does for a quarterback if you just watch any Rams game. It does scheme open a lot of wide open throws. It creates a lot of opportunities that some of these other quarterbacks don't get. But then you can also turn on games last year where you see the value add that Jared Goff was bringing to this offense. So on top of the stuff that McVay's system was scheming open, we also saw Goff dropping in dimes into tight window coverage and, you know, making plays above and beyond what the scheme is creating for him. So I think, like all of these great quarterback coach matchups, it's a symbiotic thing. You know, neither one of them is 100% the product of the other one, and vice versa. So I think Jared Goff's definitely helped by McVay's system, but it's not responsible for creating it.
So the Cowboys were willing to give Ezekiel Elliott a record-setting money. The Chargers are very much unwilling to move on Melvin Gordon. What do you think? Smart move by the Chargers to stay put?
Yeah, I think it is. And honestly, I think in a lot of ways, Melvin Gordon might have a better case for a big money deal than Zeke Elliott. Zeke Elliott has had a huge workload, but he's always had a pretty good offensive line to run behind, whereas Melvin Gordon has had a terrible offensive line to run behind. And, you know, as I mentioned earlier, that's the important thing in determining rushing success. So what he was able to do last year in terms of broken tackles and yards after contact, he was doing things that he shouldn't have been able to do given the blocking that was in front of him. But I think the Chargers are right. You know, whether they understand the dynamics of play or not, I don't know. But they're basically saying, you know what, we will talk about an extension next year, but right now you're playing on the deal you've got, and that's where the value is for us. We don't want to increase this deal to a monster number because you might still not have a good season if the offensive line remains a problem.
Sam Monson joins us from Pro Football Focus. I want you to go back over that point because a lot of people think that Melvin Gordon is not a top-tier running back necessarily. You actually think he's more valuable to the Chargers than Zeke is to the Cowboys?
Well, I think he's been a bigger part of their passing game than Ezekiel Elliott has. He's done more with the ball in his hands when it comes to the receiving part of things. But also, you know, it's running backs are basically a product of their run blocking. And for years, Zeke Elliott has had amongst the best run blocking in the NFL, and Melvin Gordon has had the opposite. You know, that Chargers offensive line has been one of the worst units in football for a number of years now, and he's been dealing with that the entire way. So when you look at his rushing numbers, you look at his yards per carry and all that kind of stuff, it doesn't paint an accurate picture of what Melvin Gordon himself has been doing. It paints an accurate picture of how bad that offensive line has been and how bad the run blocking in front of them has been. But, you know, if you look at in terms of broken tackles, if you look in terms of yards after contact, you know, we have a thing at PFF called the elusive rating, which is essentially trying to distill what the running back does from the blocking in front of him. And Melvin Gordon's elusive rating is consistently significantly higher than Zeke Elliott's because he's doing a lot more and the blocking in front of him is a lot worse.
How do you figure elusive running?
Well, so, you know, that's the name for the statistic, but it factors in broken tackles, tackles avoided, yards after contact, yards after the catch in the receiving game. It's trying to sort of pull together all of the numbers that look to be running back-specific numbers, not total yardage, which is often a product of, you know, how big the hole was at the line of scrimmage. So it's trying to fold in all those numbers and essentially just pull out the running backs part of the equation.
Mm. So we got Bears and Packers tomorrow night, and the Bears were one of the teams last year that went last to first. And this is one of the most interesting little parts or factoids that we have in the NFL, that every year, essentially, there is a team that finishes in last, and then the next year wins the division. The Bears were one of those teams last year. Do you guys have any sense of who might be a last-place team from last year that could come in first and win the division this year?
Yeah, and I looked through the list of last-place teams, and I honestly don't like many of them to make that jump. But then I guess the reason they're shocks is because nobody thinks that. I think the one that makes the most sense would be Jacksonville. Obviously, Andrew Luck retires, so the strength of the division, at least at the quarterback spot, got a little bit weaker, so that opens the door a little bit. But also, all the talent from that amazing defense of 2017 is still there. You know, they've got Jalen Ramsey, they've got A.J. Boye on the back end. Up front, they've got an incredible amount of pass rush. They have the defense to be as suffocating as they were a couple of seasons ago. And now they have, at least in theory, they've got a quarterback. You've got Nick Foles, they paid significant money to. You know, we don't really know what Nick Foles we're going to get. We've seen him play basically as well as any quarterback in the NFL in the two most important games of his career. But then we've also seen him play some pretty terrible games as well. So how he plays will go a long way to determining how successful Jacksonville can be. But I think they've at least got the things needed on paper to make that worst-to-first jump.
Last time you joined us, we talked about Aaron Rodgers and the types of plays that he makes downfield and how elite that is. So I want to ask you about now with a new coaching staff, with a new head coach at least, in Matt LaFleur, do you expect Rodgers to continue that mastery in with a new offense or at least a new series of structures, audibles, et cetera, with his new head coach?
This is such a fascinating season for Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay because, you know, for years it was how much of the problems on offense are Aaron Rodgers and how much are the scheme, how much are Mike McCarthy's offensive system not scheming receivers open and all that kind of stuff. And I think we're now going to at least see some answers. You know, we've got a new system. We've got an offense that should be playing more to his strengths. And we're going to see if he can become a little less conservative in how he attacks defenses. You know, Rodgers doesn't like putting the ball over the middle of the field as much as most quarterbacks because it's risky. You know, it's the most successful area to target, but it's also where interceptions happen. And, you know, the ball bounces in weird ways when guys get a hand on it and that kind of thing. And that's why his, you know, interception rate is so fantastic for his career. But it means you're leaving some meat on the bone when it comes to attacking a defense. And I think we're going to see a little bit this year whether he can become just a little bit more aggressive with how he attacks the defense or whether he will kind of remain perpetually a little bit too conservative on that end and that costs the Packers overall.
Sam Monson joining us this morning on the show, Pro Football Focus. He's a really fun follow on Twitter, so check him out because as we move along in this NFL season, they got really good factoids and insights into what we are watching at Pro Football Focus. Sam, it's good to catch up with you once again, my man. Thanks so much for doing it. Enjoy week number one.
Anytime. You too. Take it easy.
Sam Monson joining us this morning here on the DA Show from Pro Football Focus.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.